Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm George Norrie with guest tonight, William Henry, mythologist and a darn good investigative mythologist. You are one of the few people who not only is very good at what you do in mythology, William, but you also explain it in a very interesting, exciting way. I want to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you very much, George. I appreciate that.
It must be fun to wake up in the morning and have the kind of job you have.
Every morning, about 5:30 a.m., here I am, peering through this little window I have here, trying to bring it all together.
Many, many months ago, when the Iraqi war was underway, we started talking about Stargates.
Mm-hmm.
And as compelling as it was, we chatted about Saddam Hussein. And Saddam Hussein apparently was seen running around the Iraqi countryside with some kind of a necklace with some huge stone in the middle. And there was talk about a Stargate being hidden away in Iraq somewhere, which would have allowed him to escape into God knows where. And still to this day, William, they can't find him. Now, they're saying things like they think he's holed up in Tikrit, his hometown, masterminding some of these events that are occurring there now, but they still haven't found him. Let's talk a little bit about what you think was around his neck and also this possibility of a Stargate being in Iraq, which, of course, as you know, was where the Sumerians started off a long time ago. But what was he wearing, first of all?
Well, he was alleged to be wearing, or in fact he was wearing, but what it was alleged to be was a blue stone. It was similar to a blue stone that he also is said to have had embedded or implanted within his armpit. Now, this sounds like, wow, you know, what are you talking about, a blue stone here? You know, how can that have any kind of a power? I mean, the fact of the matter is that Saddam, and this was reported in the San Jose Mercury News, in fact, you put it up there on the Coast site as well.
Yes, yes.
That he trained or taught the Iraqi people to believe that because he possessed this stone that he was immortal. And I was extremely excited about the revelation of this stone because it fit the overall profile of who Saddam who Saddam compared himself to.
Maybe he did complain too once in a while.
Right. Saddam believed, of course, that he was the reincarnated biblical king Nebuchadnezzar. And it was easy to predict that he would want to possess such a stone because Nebuchadnezzar had sought this stone as well.
And he even named, Saddam even named a military unit after that king, did he not?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And in every way, shape, and form, in terms of rebuilding the libraries of ancient Iraq, in terms of attempting to duplicate the monuments and the temples that Nebuchadnezzar had built in 570 BC approximately, Saddam was trying to duplicate this figure and, in fact, outdo what Nebuchadnezzar had done. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had sought the secrets of this blue stone, which goes all the way back to the original Sumerian myths of the Anunnaki and Ea or Enki, whom Zechariah Sitchin upholds as the Anunnaki genetic scientist that came to Earth in search of gold, but also in search of the blue stone that causes illumination.
Mm.
And it appears that Saddam was trying to connect himself with the secrets of the Anunnaki and portraying himself as a person who had this stone. Now, how does this stone make one immortal? Well, one of the things that it's alleged to be able to do is to cleanse and purify the blood so that one can live longer.
Merely by wearing it?
Merely by wearing it, but also by imbibing it as well. Perhaps through some form of a homeopathic remedy whereby pieces or portions of the stone
You grind it up or something like that?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. So there's lots of different things that go along with this blue stone thesis, including the idea that it was some form of a monoatomic element, similar to the manna that Lawrence Gardner has talked about. There's incredible myths that go along with it, and I put an article up about it on my website. And in fact, during our interview in June, I had reached out to the Coast audience saying, if you've ever had any kind of an experience, an encounter, a dream of such a blue stone, please write me back. And boy, did the Coast audience deliver. And I've put a report together on my site that describes some of the findings that people had sent to me. And essentially, I was looking at the blue stone as a physical object, as literally some form of exotic matter of which the stargates or portals, the time tunnels leading to other realms were composed. And this was my this was based upon my research into the myths and legends of the Anunnaki, and as well as the stories reported in the Bible concerning Nebuchadnezzar and the possible opening of a stargate in Babylon. And so I'm thinking this is an exotic matter that's actually physical, that has seemingly non-physical properties. And what the Coast audience delivered was validation that, yes, in fact, the blue stone is a centerpiece. It's a gem in a crown, so to speak, that enables travel in that way through gateways, but it's also an internal thing. It's a part of ourself that in the East they call the blue pearl. They call it the blue apple in France. And what it enables is interphasic travel, quantum time travel from within.
Well, what is it? Is it like, is it a sapphire? Is there a specific a crystallized name or gemstone name that one would call it?
In the sign and the seal, Graham Hancock points to the blue sapphire as being this blue stone. In fact, it's been claimed that on Moses' first trip up Mount Sinai, that he was given this blue stone of enlightenment. And when he comes back down Sinai and sees the Israelites worshiping the golden calf, and he smashes the tablets, that he's actually saying, you're not worthy of this blue stone at this time. And in place are substituted the two tablets containing the Ten Commandments. So it's quite possible that it is sapphire, but then it's also been claimed that sapphire, and as it appears in the Bible, is a mistranslation of the word sapur, which means holy blood. So from this we get this image that the blue stone is actually some form of an agent that cleanses and purifies blood. In my research, what I did is simply take the first letter S off the word stone and came up with the notion that the blue stone is actually a blue tone.
Okay, and you know that we had reports that Saddam had put this blue stone necklace around, let's say, cows, and they would shoot bullets at the cows, and nothing would happen to it.
Exactly. And so that's when Saddam, I believe it was a chicken, as a matter of fact, and then after that is when Saddam had this implanted within his armpit.
That's amazing.
Absolutely amazing. And it connects the dots on so much of the Anunnaki mythology and just affirms that this was a person who was very much like Adolf Hitler, who was attempting to reclaim the glory of his civilization's past, but only to twist and to pervert it. Because assuredly, Saddam wasn't going to share this technology with the common Iraqis. He was going to use this technology to keep himself at the top of the tower, so to speak, as the gatekeeper, and prevent any comers from acquiring this stone. And the question that I have is have we, the United States, have we actually reacquired this technology? And was this in part the purpose for our going over there? I mean, mind you, I saw a number the other day by the columnist Jonah Goldberg that he's still wondering, we know it's about more than oil. And what was it that Saddam was hiding that he was willing to forego over $100 billion in oil revenue in order to protect?
And we know now it wasn't weapons of mass destruction.
It definitely was not that. So it points to something else, and we have to go back to the statements and the actions of this figure of who he claimed that he was, a reincarnated biblical king who was here to rebuild the gate of Babylon.
Well, and as we know, William, in his very own country of Iraq, I mean, he had unlimited resources to do his own archaeological digs, excavations. Who knows what he would have come across.
Absolutely.
You know, in had he stumbled into the exact spot where the Sumerians lived in Iraq, southern Iraq, he stumbled into some things that he has now tried to protect and has taken. I just find it very ironic, as you well know, I don't believe in coincidences, mm-hmm. that we can't find the guy. You know, we supposedly had him cornered several times, and he seems to, like, disappear like an invisible man. All the time.
Right. As if he's walking through portals of some kind. One more thing about the Blue Stone that's very important. I'm in my new book, Oracle of the Illuminati, I'm following up on these stories of this divine pearl, the divine essence, the divine spark, or other terms that it's given. And I happened to see John Lear had been talking with Art.
Yes, over the weekend. Yeah.
Over the weekend. And he gave his briefing where he stated essentially that we were created by alien beings.
Mm-hmm.
That these beings are the gray type figures who are basically robotic, and that they are interested in some form or some kind of a something that has been deposited within the human body, which they view as a container. I've gone along with that hypothesis for a long time. I don't use the word container. I use the word manufacturing plant. Our bodies are designed to manufacture many different things. But what I'm following up on right now is the early Christian text from the years approximately 50 AD after the time of Jesus up until the year 200. And what these texts describe is the creation of humanity by a figure that we would describe as an alien who had created several hundred helpers that were not imbued with this divine essence, and they were interested in humanity because humans did have this divine essence, this divine spark. It's described as the blue pearl or the blue stone in the Eastern texts.
Now, isn't the chemical cobalt much like that too? The mineral cobalt?
Zechariah Sitchin in the 12th planet hypothesized that that was the blue stone that Ea or Enki was interested in. I think it's something different. Cobalt, of course, is radioactive, and other blue stones that have been proposed are turquoise, lapis lazuli, other stones such as this, but I think it's something different than that. It's something of a more of a spiritual nature, a spiritual essence, and humans contain the blue stone naturally. And this is part of the secret that's been covered up for a long time. And as John Lear mentions, this is the interest that these extraterrestrials quite possibly have in humanity. We have this divine essence. We have the blue stone of immortality already within us. What we need is the means to activate it. And when we activate it, we're able to travel into other dimensions. We're able to exude healing abilities. We become, in effect, in a word, gods.
Well, let me tell you something. I wonder if Saddam Hussein handed one of these stones to his buddy Bin Laden because he can't be found either.
Right. I mean, quite possible because, again, you know, Afghanistan, like ancient Iraq, is loaded with this kind of mythology. This is the underpinnings of all of the cultures and religions in that area.
A few years ago, William, had I heard a story like this, I would have said, come on. But the more and more that I get into it, and more that I read up on it, the more and more I talk with you about things like this, and the clear fact that there are just so many very strange things going on this planet, I'm beginning to say, you know, all of this is entirely possible, where a few years ago I would have said, I'm not so sure. Now I'm beginning to think it's more possible than not.
Absolutely. There's no question we're through the looking glass right now, and we're in the wonderland, and now the object is to come up with a new map, because anything is possible. I mean, physicists themselves don't even have language to describe the world that we live in right now with our recent discoveries. We barely have the mathematics to be able to describe this. So we're clearly in a new realm right here, and there's literally no looking back. And so what is called for is for each of us to, if this blue stone, this blue essence is within us, this appears to be the focus where we want to draw our attention, because the more that we become aware of ourselves as these divine beings having a physical experience at this moment, it's going to enable us to more fully understand this moment and also to take advantage of it.
I tell you what, if they ever do capture Saddam and he's got this necklace around him, that's going to be fodder for more stories, huh?
For the next 5 decades, I'm convinced they'll be churning out books just like they did about Hitler and his use of the occult.
Yeah, I think so too. Look, I want to talk more about Stargates. We're going to approach the top of the hour pretty soon, but let's chat just a moment or two about that. Explain for us, if you would, William, just what we're talking about here when you talk about a Stargate possibly being in Iraq.
What we're talking about is likely a literal physical device. A device that opens up gateways or portals into other realms, so that if one were to enter this gateway in, say, the vicinity of Baghdad, one could travel to any place they would like on Earth or conceivably within our solar system and beyond.
Okay, now where might it be?
My sense, if I had to give you a knee-jerk response, is it's buried underneath that swamp that Saddam drained.
Oh, now, do you think we have troops in that specific spot?
We do, and we're rehabilitating that swamp. It's the home of the Madan people, who are an ancient group that have ties to the original Christian followers of John the Baptist, who called themselves Mandans. After the persecution of the original Christians, many of them fled. Some of them, the Madans, went to southern Iraq. And it's their marshlands that became a place of fixation for Saddam. He drained hundreds of thousands of acres of swampland in an ecological catastrophe akin to us losing the Everglades in Florida. And nobody could understand why he was doing that. Certainly, if he wanted to eliminate the Madan people, he could have done so in a far easier manner. But he was absolutely obsessed with this location and of draining this particular swampland.
Now, this apparatus, which you say is physical,
yes.
It would look technological?
Well, my research has led me to a device that has as its platform what we think of as the biblical Ark of the Covenant.
Aha, okay.
Which Lawrence Gardner and other researchers are now beginning to prove, to use that term, is a device that is capable of generating monoatomic elements of alchemy. Attached to this Ark of the Covenant platform is a pillar called the Shuti Pillar, or the Pillar of Enlightenment. And according to Egyptian myth and legend, this pillar has the ability to drill holes in space.
Drill holes in space.
Yes. It stands between 90 and 180 feet tall, having a telescopic ability. And it was literally passed around the ancient world. It's one of its original sites was in Sumeria, because Ea or Enki, the Sumerian genetic scientist who's connected to the Blue Stones, was the original owner of this device. And then we find it in a remarkable temple in Lower Egypt called Abydos. At Abydos, you see depictions of this device. You see it in action with the goddess Isis supervising it, where it's called the pillar or symbol of Osiris, the Egyptian savior god.
All right, stay with us. William Henry, my guest. I'm George Norrie. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to talk about a crop circle decoded. Right here on Coast to Coast AM.
Can't believe what you're hearing? Listen to it again when you sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. It's only 15 cents a day,